بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت مجدد الرساني صاحب رحمة الله عليه سرهند شريف، he's a personality that brought about a revival in India. That revival was not just for 100 years, but for 1,000 years. The Mughal kings at the time were bent on inventing a new religion, Deen-e-Ilahi, to amalgamate all religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, multi-religion, multi-faith. That was the purpose, that one religion must suffice for the entire India and it must see to the needs and requirements of everybody. So that religion will be such that it will be pleasing to Hindus, it will be pleasing to Christians, it will be pleasing to one and all. Now, outwardly this seems to be a very pleasant idea, but obviously this cannot conform to Islam. If you are worshipping Allah Ta'ala, then to take a ghairullah, to take an idol, is now opposing Islam, obviously. So it can't conform. You're either with Allah Ta'ala, or you have cut yourself off, you have breached the contract with Allah Ta'ala. So if you're in Islam, then you cannot reconcile with any other religions, and if you are another religion, you cannot reconcile with Islam. So Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullahi had understood all this. He understood this was a grand plan and what they were aiming for, right? Politicians have political agendas, but they have such a front that it is very difficult for people to see within that agenda of theirs, right? They will just give some beautiful name, but they have some own agendas of theirs, right? So Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullah had seen all this, and he was in a quandary now. How does he work this whole thing out? There were one of two ways available for him. One was to challenge the king of the time, to go at war with them. But he didn't have the muscle for it. If someone has the muscle for it, well and good. You need the strength, you need the might, you need the type of power to challenge the superpower of the time. India was like a superpower at the time. And the other option was to work discreetly. So Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullah had worked very discreetly. He had got into contact with the ministers, people that are connected to the hierarchy, the government, somehow or other, from one level to the other, he got in. And slowly but surely, he began to gain momentum, he began to gain their favor. For this, he had to go through a lot of difficulties, he had to go through prison. Approximately 2 or 3 years he remained in prison until the king at the time, Jahangir, Akbar had already died, and it was Jahangir who was in power. He had seen in a dream that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling him that, Jahangir, who have you prisoned? Who have you imprisoned? It's a great heir of mine, Alim, a great heir of mine, and you have imprisoned him. So Jahangir got a shock and he released him straight away. Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullah had continued his work, and as a result of his work, then you found Shah Jahan became quite a decent person. You won't say he was very pious, but quite a decent, just person. And then from Shah Jahan's progeny was Alamgir. And Alamgir was a buzurg, he was a great alim and a buzurg. But now all this effort, all this revivalist movement was pioneered, engineered by Hazrat Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi. It is important to know and understand all these historical facts for two reasons. One is to appreciate people for what they are, number one, what they have done. And moreover, we are coming from the Indian subcontinent. So we should be knowing what the predecessors and the older people, what type of efforts, sacrifices they have made, struggles they have gone through in order for the preservation of Islam, number one. Number two is you get an idea how to work. You read these people's books, and with all the oppositions, all the difficulties that were before them, and how they carried themselves, how they worked, to get an idea of that. See? So in all this, Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullah worked and worked and worked until he managed to preserve Islam in this country. Otherwise, it would have been gone, finished. There would have been a Deen-e-Ilahi, and that we are sitting here, we wouldn't have been sitting here in the first place. We would have been following some other religion. The religion that Akbar and all these people had concocted, they were about 360 gods, and then something like you can't slaughter a cow, you can't make khatna and sunnat, and you can't go and openly practice your Islam, you can't keep a beard, and several things. They wanted to concoct Islam completely, totally eradicate and eliminate Islam. There are several reasons for this thing to come up, but whatever it may have been, what I wanted to show you is Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullah, what he had done, how he had worked. See, what happens to us when we see the odds weighing very heavily against us, then we become despondent. But now I tell you, go and check up the history books on Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullah, what work he did, what was the era that he was in, and how he worked, and how firm he worked. This in itself is a great inspiration for ulama, for all zamanas. Okay, in spite of the odds, how he worked and how he was successful, how he managed to preserve deen in this place. So this is his maktub. His maktubat are quite popular from the time he passed away till now, approximately 500 years ago now. So his maktubat and his statements are very, very popular. He is of a Naqshbandi order. And so you find a lot of the Turks, they go by the maktubat of Hazrat Sheikh Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi alayhi. Although the Turks that have taken his order and his system, they had been misled, present-day Turks that have taken to his order, to some extent they are misled, right? The way that you take the maktub is not to go directly into them. You first learn what are the basics of tasawuf, what you understand from this. What you want, the basics of it, the basics of deen, you get that. Then you learn the basic masail of tasawuf. And thereafter you look into these people's books, then you get the right picture. Now, you don't have a basic understanding of deen, you don't have a basic understanding of tasawuf, and then you go and access these kitabs, obviously the version that you will get won't be absolutely correct. The understanding you will get is not absolutely correct. Like someone tries to study the Quran Sharif himself, right? No assistance, no help, and he wants to make a self-study of the Quran Sharif. Obviously he's going to go off. He first needs to go through the whole procedure, understand the basics of Quran, basics of Islam, what is all Islam about, what are the tenets of Islam. I conduct the tafsir here in the masjid, top masjid, after Fajr namaz. So after 2 years or 3 years that I started, one very educated person, he says to me that I've been doing tafsir on my own. I've been doing tafsir on my own. But now that you are doing tafsir here, I got a total different understanding of tafsir. My understanding, I understand, was totally perverted. I was off the line. Now, how important it is to get the principles right, then the principles of that fun, of that subject that you are accessing, thereafter you read these type of kitabs, now you understand things in true and correct perspective. And if you don't do this, then you'll get an understanding, but you won't get it in the correct perspective. Right. So this is a statement made by Hazrat Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullah alayhi. He says that if someone is not finding progress through the guidance of the sheikh that he is with, right, he is under the guidance of a sheikh, now he's taken bayat, whatever, and he committed himself to one sheikh's ta'aleem, but then he finds that he doesn't find the type of progress that he is desirous of. See, this whole process of bayat is like a treatment, right? Now you are taking a treatment from a doctor, and you've been with a doctor for a year, but you don't see the type of progress that you anticipated. Now what do you do? Do you continue with the doctor or do you discontinue? On the one end, now you feel that perhaps it is against the respect and the integrity of the doctor that you totally dissociate yourself from him. But then you've got another problem that I am with him, but I don't see any progress. Now what do I do? I am with him, but I don't see the progress. I am employing all my energies, all my resources, I'm trying my best, I'm exhausting my energies, but I don't see the progress. In physical ailments, we know what progress means. That you overcome your illness, you're seeing strength within your body. What you were incapable of doing, now you are capable of doing. So, you followed the prescription of the doctor, you followed his treatment, you found a change, you found an improvement. Now here, in spite of you following the prescription and the advice, the instruction of the sheikh, you followed it through and through, you exhausted your effort, but you're not seeing any progress. You are just there at the same point. Right? Now what do you do? Do you discontinue with him or do you continue with him? What do you do? So as the Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullah explains that in such a situation, you should respectfully cut yourself out from him and align yourself with another sheikh. Why should you waste your entire umar, your entire life with this person here? Because perhaps it's not decreed for you, it's not meant for you that you be with this sheikh. Now the reasons why you should cut yourself off doesn't have to be that he is incapable of your progress, incapable of directing you, and incapable of leading you straight. No. It doesn't have to be. It may be, but it doesn't have to be. Right? It is like this. Perhaps you belong to a different blood group. You have a blood group, and his visage, his temperament is something else. Your temperament is something else. You're not agreeable with him, nor is he agreeable with you. You tried, you exhausted your efforts, all the things that he had told you, you had done everything, the last thing. Whatever he's asked you to leave, you left out. Whatever he asked you to do, then you did. But in spite of leaving all the things that he asked you to leave out, and doing the things that he had told you to do, but you're not just seeing progress. Now what do you do? See, one is what happens nowadays, is that we don't follow the sheikh through and through. We don't follow him. And then you see, hey, I'm connected with this buzurg, but I'm not seeing the progress. But then we ask you that all the things that he asked you to leave out, you left out everything. Maybe some things are of a permissible order, but he asked you to leave it out. As a treatment, right, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah had been taking treatment from some hakim, right. And the hakim asked him to leave out water. So for approximately 5 or 9 years he had left out water entirely. Whatever the treatment required, but the hakim asked him to leave out water and he had left out water for that period. So, is the drinking of water impermissible? It's not impermissible. وَمِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ Everything finds life with water. But the doctor asked him to abstain from water, the physician asked him to abstain from water, so he abstained from it. It's not because of the impermissibility of the water, but it is on account of the treatment. He asked him to leave it. So the Shaykh will ask you to leave out some things that are permissible at times, and obviously all those things that are impermissible, he will definitely ask you to leave them out. So he asks you to refrain from certain things strictly, and some things that you must do. But then you're not complying. So when you don't comply completely, then you will find that there is some type of incompatibility that is built up. Right? Naturally, an incompatibility will be built up. Now you're seeing, hey, things are not working now. I can't see myself progressing. All the time I was progressing, and I don't see myself progressing now. So what can be the reason? So this is the one reason. The one reason, I say, is because you are incompatible. Naturally, you're incompatible. Like Khizr and Musa alayhi salam, can you doubt of the integrity and the piety of any one of them? You can't doubt the integrity, the respect, and the piety of any one of them. But then, Khizr alayhi salam had to say, Musa alayhi salam, هذا فراق بيني وبينك. This is the point of separation. We can't continue. Right? Your temperament is something else. My temperament is something else. The type of instruction that you have come with is different. And the type of work that I am assigned on is something else. So we can't just get along. We can't just agree. So respectfully, we take our paths. We separate our paths. So this is because of the nature of the work. Musa al-Islam has been assigned a different nature of work. He has been told that you must now, the administration of the world, right, the system of the world, as far as law is concerned, he must regulate that. Who? Musa al-Islam. Halal, haram, the justice, order. So this is now Musa al-Islam's work. And Khizr al-Islam's work is something else. His work is something like the work of the malaika, the farishtas, then they also relate to administration, but a different thing. This person, for example, must die, and that person must be living, that person must be killed, and this person must become a poor person, that person must become a wealthy person. So his line is something else, and this person's line is totally different. Two got diverse paths. Diverse. Right. Now sometimes there's a conflict. Outwardly it seems that this person is an innocent person. Then why are you killing him? Khizr, why do you kill him? He's an innocent soul. قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. Do you kill an innocent soul without any reason? So, Musa alayhi salam's shariat is telling him that he must object to an impermissible act, an act of injustice. He must stand up for it. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِبِالْقِسْتِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. Right. And Khizr al-Islam is being instructed that go and kill this person. Right? And Musa al-Islam is objecting on account of the type of Sharia that he has been sent with. The type of the law that he is sent with, he is objecting. And he has to object because this is his assignment. This is the very thing that he is committed himself to. He's commissioned to this. And on the other end, Khizr al-Islam has been commanded to go and kill. Right? Now listen, there's a very fine line here, right? Nobody in this day and time can say that I've been commanded to kill. You can't say that I've been commanded divinely. About a month ago, there was a case in a school where a boy put on a black hood or something. He pulled out a sword and he chopped off someone's head, right? And he said, I've been commanded to do so. Satan commanded me to do so, right? So listen, in this day and time, nobody can say this. Right? Khizr al-Islam said, he said it clearly, that هَذَا مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. What I'm doing, this is in accordance to the command of my Rabb. I've been directly commanded. Now, do we have that type of authority? Do we have that? We don't have that. هَذَا مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. This is the direct command of my Rabb. Right? That is why he was not even apprehended. No law had apprehended Khizr alayhi salam for what he had done. Nobody. And they couldn't perhaps even see it. The way he has done it, he has not seen it. Allah Ta'ala is directing him directly. He is directing him. So he's not going to be apprehended. He's going to do what he needs to do. And he will continue in that way. Right? Now, up till this day, you have that type of awliya-i-kiram doing this type of khidmat, rendering this type of service. But now you may ask, that how do they manage to do this service? How do they managed to do this type of service that is related to the queen. The queen is the outer administration of the world, right? How do they manage to do it? Right? It's just as a matter of interest, how do they do it, right? Because on the one end, you're getting the Shariat that is opposing it, don't kill. And then this is a buzuk, this is a wali that is connected to taqween. So how do you reconcile the both? Taqween requires something, go and scuttle that boat, go and erect that wall, go and kill this person here. Now all these things seem to be not conforming with the Sharia, but then Khizr al-Islam is doing it. Now he is connected to the queen administration, right? So what happens generally, that class of awliya that are connected to the queen, they are made madzub, right? Madzub, it's a lengthy discussion in its own, but they are not in the proper sense of mind. They're not in the proper frame of mind. When you're not in the proper frame of mind, then you aren't answerable for what you do. So the Sharia will not hold you accountable because you're not in the proper frame of mind. You kill this person, right? But you're not in the proper frame of mind. When you're not in the proper frame of mind, you're going to be answerable. Right? So these matters are related to the queen. And the wisdom behind the queen is not known to us. When it's not known to us, we do not know why he's doing this. Then what are we supposed to be doing? We are supposed to be just following the apparent Sharia. نَحْنُ نَحْكُمُ بِالزَّوَاهِرِ وَاللَّهُ يَتَوَلَّ السَّرَائِرِ We'll just take things on the apparent. We do not know what are the hidden secrets. The hidden mysteries we don't know. So we will take things on the apparent. We do not know, and nor is it our duty to go and investigate the hidden mysteries. So we'll take things on the apparent. If someone is going to commit murder, and he says, no, I am being divinely appointed. Said, whatever it is between you and Allah, that will happen in the hereafter. But in this world, you will follow the consequences. You will be beheaded. If you kill someone, you will suffer the consequences. You will not say to any court of law, Islamic or not non-Islamic, that I have been divinely appointed, therefore I am exempt. You are going to come to law, and law is going to have its way over you. Law is going to be presided over you. So you can't get away. That was Khizr al-Islam. He was divinely appointed, so nobody could apprehend him. Nobody could see him, and nobody could apprehend him. Musa al-Islam objected. Musa al-Islam was allowed to see his work. Right? Otherwise, he also could have not seen the work. But he was allowed to go and see the work of Khizr. And what does Khizr do? See? Now, what we're getting at here is that when there isn't a compatibility between the murid and the sheikh, right? What do you do? Now, how do you understand compatibility? I explained that you will stay with the buzurg for some time and you will listen to his discourses. The aspect that he discussed about spiritual reformation and correction, you apply it on yourself completely. Without any exception, you apply it completely. Now you see that there is some progress in you. And you see some improvement in you. You see? And when you see all these things falling in place, then you say, no, I see the degree of compatibility between me and the Shaykh. So I must go with him. Right? So there is a degree of compatibility. Right? But in spite of employing all these things that he had asked you, you employed everything in place. Don't do this, do this. Do this, don't do this. You did everything complete. After having had completed everything, then too you see yourself not progressing. Now what do you do? When you don't see yourself progressing, now then you respectfully move away, turn away. Right? You don't have to go and break off relationship altogether with him. No, you don't have to. Nor do you need to go and notify him. If you notify him, it's all right. But now you don't have to become averse to him. You don't have to go and say him something. No. Respectfully, hadha firaq ubainik, that I can't agree with you. And I will move my way. You carry on your way. So this is perfect. This is permissible. In fact, this is what's supposed to be done. And this type of things did occur amongst people. Mawlana Sadiq al-Yaqeen Sahib, Rahmatullah alayhi. he was bayat to Hadi Sahib rahmatullah alayh. Right? Hadi Sahib rahmatullah alayh had worked on Mawlana Sadiq ul Yaqeen Sahib, very pious person, and Mawlana had worked on him for a lengthy duration. And after some times, Hadi Sahib rahmatullah alayh spoke to Mawlana Sadiq ul Yaqeen Sahib that, you see, as far as the place is concerned, that place that we worked was absolutely full of barakat, Makkah Mukarramah. There was no question of its barakat. The barakat of Makkah Mukarramah is unquestionable. So the place that we strive and struggle for your Islam and for Reformation was the most blessed place. Right? And you also, you had not left any stone unturned in trying for your Reformation. Everything was told to you, you did everything. The last thing that was told to you, you practiced it. Myself, I tried my best for your improvement, for your Reformation. Right? So, you tried your best, I cooperated completely. The place, the barakat of the place is unquestionable. So everything is in place. But in spite of everything being in place, we don't see that you have made the desired progress. So I recommend that you go to India and you take bayat at the hands of Maulana Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. You go and continue there. So he didn't object to it. He understood that this is for his own good. Ali Sahib tried his best. The place is unquestionable. He had also did his best. He had given his best off. And now from here he is being sent to India. Right? He comes to India to Hazrat Maulana Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And approximately in 1 month, unka kaam ban gaya. In just 1 month, what this man was after and what he was desirous of, unka kaam to ban gaya. He had achieved. Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah didn't see him, so Hadi Sahib ko wajd aa gaya. Hadi Sahib actually went into an ecstasy. This man in 1 month, and Maulana Gangwai Sahib, that is his student, and what he achieved, I couldn't achieve. Maulana Gangwai had achieved what Hadi Sahib could not achieve, whereas Maulana Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah is Hadi Sahib's student, his murid. And how did he manage this? Anyway, someone asked Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh the same question, that how did Maulana Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah manage what Hadi Sahib could not manage? How did Maulana Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah manage? See? What Maulana Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah could not manage. So Mustafa says that the answer is known best to those people that were directly involved. I am not here. I wasn't there at the time. So I can't comment on this. So the answer is best known to those people that were directly involved. They know exactly the reasons why he could take the benefit from Maulana Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and he could not take the type of benefit from me. But outwardly it seems that Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh wasn't a muhaddis, nor was he a hakim, nor was he a mufassir. And Maulana Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah was everything. He was a muhaddis, he was a mufassir, he was a hakim, he was a faqih. Right. So, when this person, Haji Maulana Sadiq ul Yaqeen Sahib, is going to be moved over to Maulana Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, right, his degree of confidence will be higher, will be greater. When the degree of confidence will be higher and greater, then obviously he will take more easily to Maulana Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh than to Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So, the student asked again, okay, but then how come Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah did not understand this from the very beginning? So, Hazrat explained again that the best answer is known by the people that are directly involved. The exact answer is known by them. Right? And whatever we're going to say is going to be speculation. The real answer, the exact answer is known by those people that are involved directly. But he says that, see, when a person is involved in a certain he's an expert, he's practicing, right? He's a doctor, he's practicing. And a doctor that is above him tells him that for your own good, don't practice for 1 month. I see a problem in you, some weakness in you. This person is an expert, that person is a doctor as well. And he is advising him not to practice. Right? So he will relate to the doctor very easily. But if an ordinary person is asking a doctor that you don't practice for this reason, that your health is not right, and don't practice, so the doctor will feel a little bit apprehensive. Why? Why? He will feel, he won't feel right about it. He won't feel uncomfortable. Right? But if the doctor has to say it, an expert has to say it, he will take it very easily. And the easy example to illustrate this is, if the child is not doing his homework, right? He's not doing his homework. And the father sees it, that he isn't doing his homework, he's not behaving at home. Then the easy thing that he does is he complains to the teacher that, teacher, just explain this child that he must do his homework. Now when the teacher has to say him that, you know, you must do your work, and it's important, otherwise you will fail. Now the child takes it differently. Don't we see that we're performing namaz, everything at home, right? Namaz or zikr or tasbih or whatever. And the child won't take that tasbih, he won't take things seriously. But the day that ustad or that apa or that mawlana or something said, you must eat tasbih before you sleep, at least read tasbih of Fatimi, 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, read that and then sleep. Now you'll find a small child, 4 years, 5 years of age, and she's taking the tasbih and she's reciting it. Why are you reading this? No, apa told us to read it. But I read every day and you could not follow me. No, Apa said, or Molana said, must read it. So whether Molana says or that Apa says, it has a different effect. Psychologically, it has a different effect. You don't have any reservation because he considers that Apa or that Molana something superior. Right? Because of his position, you take it more easily. Right? You take it more easily. Although your parents are doing it, they may be doing more than that Apa. But you take it more easily, it blends better when that ustad or that molana or that apa has to say you that very thing, that very same thing. Okay. So Hazrat had given him this explanation. Yeah, what we are trying to explain is when you have aligned yourself, as you have connected yourself with some buzurg and sheikh, and you don't see the desired amount of results. Now what do? Do you stick with him, carry out with him, or do you move on? Obviously, the objective and the maqsad is progress, is islah, reformation, correction. That is the whole idea. Right? If you're not seeing a correction, you're not seeing an improvement, then the right thing is then to pardon yourself and move on to someone else. The idea is to correct yourself. And for some reason, you cannot take the correction from him. Sometimes the reason for not being able to take the correction may be other as well, something else as well. Hazrat Muhammad Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was conducting a majlis after Asr as he would normally do. And one person was trying to slit in one application to Mawlana. And Mawlana was ignoring him. So he tried again. And Mawlana ignored him again. And then now when he saw that Mawlana is ignoring him, then he said, please accept my application. So then Mawlana spoke. He says, see, I've got no grudge, I've got no malice against anybody. But for so many years, you've been writing and you've been speaking out against me. You've been writing articles against me and you've been speaking out against me, right? And all this was in my knowledge because what you were writing was coming. Right? It was coming to me. Now, as much as I want to, I look forward to your reformation, to your improvement, but my mind and my heart is not just inclined towards you. So he says to Mawlana, but didn't you announce that you have forgiven everybody? Mawlana says, yes, I say it up till this day, I've forgiven everybody. I bear no grudge. I harbor no malice for anybody. But for all this period that you were writing up against me, did you take the initiative to come and tell me that, no, I have left this out, I am remorseful for what I am doing. You will never take the initiative to come and tell me and that I am remorseful for what I am doing, and it was stupidity of me that I have behaved in this incorrect manner. Now I feel that perhaps you have the same impression about me. All these years I would feel that you have the same impression about myself. Though from my end I have forgiven you. But now because of your behavior and because of what you are writing and the articles that of yours that were coming out, now it leaves me in this contrary, in this state of mind that I feel that you still have the same impression of me. So now when you have that impression of me, then how can I be of any benefit? How can I be an asset to you? See? This, as far as forgiveness and pardoning, I've forgiven everybody, past and future, not only now. But anybody has hurt me in the past, anybody has hurt me in the future, I have forgiven everything. But now, this has settled in my mind. Now, after so many years, now today you come up and you say that you want to link yourself, connect yourself with me. Now, it's going to be quite difficult. So, I will tell you something for your own benefit, that you may go to someone else for your spiritual benefit, for your spiritual guidance. By me, you're not going to benefit. So, when I was quite frank, quite clear about it, this accepting people for reformation, correction on a personal level, one is a general level, give a waz, bayan, etc. That's a different thing that can continue. But on a personal level, when someone is coming in for a personal reformation, personal correction, one-to-one, see? Now that is a very delicate process. It's a refined process. And for that refined process, you need the hearts to be totally open, clear. The minds to be clear, the mind to be open. Then you can work with the patient, and the patient also can take to you. Now you imagine now you're a practicing doctor, and that person has been writing against you, he's been swearing you, abusing you. Now suddenly he comes for a specialized treatment. He wants a specialized treatment. You'll be able to give him a treatment, but your heart will not be so open towards him. In that treatment, in diagnosing the person's problem, prescribing, etc., you require your mind to be absolutely clear and open. But now if there's going to be something in your mind, then you're not going to be as clear as it is expected of you to be. So, honesty requires that you tell him, by as much as I want to cure you, to treat you, as much as I look forward to your treatment, but I think in your interest, it is best for you, most appropriate for you, most prudent for you to go to someone else. So, taking someone on a personal level, one-to-one for reformation, is not just to increase numbers. Now, look for so many numbers I have got and so many numbers you have got. Is not just to increase and swell your numbers. Right? It is a very specialized thing. And in that specialized thing, the heart must be very clear. The mind must be very open and easy. Mawla says, it must be so open that you must be able to say that, Murid, you know, ye teri harkat bilkul bewakuf jaisi hai. You must be able to tell that person that this act of yours is absolutely incorrect. It's like a stupid you are, or you're behaving. Gado ki tarah se hai. So, you must be able to speak to the person so openly. Now, if that person opens himself, clears himself, then can the sheikh also dispense of the treatment accordingly. He can also be so open. But now, the sheikh is feeling ashamed of him. I don't know what he's going to say, how he's going to feel, how he's going to take it. So, for every step that he's taking, he's got 10 thoughts in his mind. This person, perhaps he may take it negatively. Now I have to be very careful of how to administer my treatment against him. So is that treatment going to go well? It's going to go well. Because he has to think 10 times before he's administrating the treatment. He's administering treatment, but he has to think, how is this person going to take it? Though his mind tells him that this is the pill, this is the medication. But now he says to himself that this person is not going to take it well. So how must I say it to him? So that process of treatment is going to take a very lengthy time. So rather, you tell the person by go someone else. General treatment you can come. General bayan, general nasihat, advice you can come. But a specialized treatment, then you go to someone else. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.